This is GamesAtWork.biz with Michael Martin and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with.
This is episode 302, Good Riddance. Hello and welcome to the very last, well, at least we think it is, episode of 2020. This is Michael Martin here. I am joined by two super cool individuals, Mr. Michael Rowe, who's joining us from the Durham Studios and waving hello, which you can see on our audio podcast really well.
Hello!
And there's the audio component to that. And we're delighted to be joined again by oftentimes better than usual, Andy Piper.
Hello, Andy. Who's doing jazz hands from London. Hello.
Yes.
I'm so jazz pleased hands. That we are making the time off schedule, but on schedule as far as I'm concerned, to do a 2020 closeout episode. This is cool.
A very special
and
episode.
And apart from anything else, it makes me happy to see both of your faces on my computer telly screen, which our listeners cannot see, which is good for our listeners, but it makes me happy. Yeah. So
I have to ask, is computer telly screen a Britishism?
My headphones have once again decided that I was talking to my friend Siri, so...
Yes, they were.
She's not sure she understands what I just said. Anyway, it's not a...
I figured this out. Whenever we say something that Andy just doesn't want to talk about, suddenly Siri kicks in.
That's pretty useful, you know?
I need that feature.
I think we could add that feature any old time, and you could do it directly.
Could I use that for like work conference
you
calls?
You should, totally.
I'm sorry, my Siri just kicked in. We'll come back to that later.
I wish we could.
Yes.
Well, we have not prepared for you a best of, which is a good thing, because some might say there really wasn't anything that was that good this year. But we do have a few interesting stories that we'd love to share with you and talk a little bit about. And leading things off, Andy, is one that you had found, because we've been talking about consoles and we talked about gaming, you know, for the last couple of times. And you found this really super cool one from KFC, Kentucky.
Yeah, I think this is the EPRED's new ultra mega gaming console. Personally, I feel like Ian would really enjoy the KF console. No, I mean, look, it's a fun thing. If our listeners haven't seen it yet, go take a look. KFC have done some kind of alliance with Cooler Master. They've unveiled the KF console. It's kind of fun.
Yes.
I mean, it's 100% fun. I don't think it's in any way a serious thing. Evidently, it's real. I mean, it will play games, but it's kind of a chicken bucket shaped console that also plays video games and heats your fried chicken deliciousness. So I still don't have an Xbox Series X, so every time anything comes up, I'm just looking at.
I have to wonder, because you know, when you're playing video games, how often do you put the controller down and grab a piece of fried chicken? I guess it would work really good with like nuggets.
Or a robotic arm.
Oh,
you know, one that hangs from the ceiling, grabs that chicken. Brings it close to you.
Yeah, I like it.
That'd be quite good. I like the heat transfer capability of this one too, Andy. You know, when you're playing a game and you know the core is working really hard and creates all that heat. That heat's got to be dissipated somewhere. So why not use it to keep your fried chicken warm while your other device keeps your beer cold? Right.
Yeah. Think about that. That is a brilliant idea in the sense that you don't have to pay for the extra packaging to make your gaming console run cool. you can truly just do this and have it just burn off that excess heat into your food.
That'll be awesome.
And this is actually a great idea that it came out right around Christmas, because, you know, I can't tell you how many podcasts and other things I heard, including, I think it was a trivia show, that the thing to do on Christmas in Japan is go eat KFC.
Really? Okay. I mean, I want to move. I'll move to Japan.
I was surprised by this.
I love that. I'm good with this.
Yeah. So let me ask: extra crispy or original recipe?
Original recipe.
Okay. I like extra crispy, but I haven't had it in so very long time.
It's been a long time since I've been to Japan, but I can tell you with authority, because I did try this when I was there. I thought, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken in Japan, are you kidding me? It was actually some of the best fried chicken I'd ever had
lockdown,
in my life. From a Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Going back to the 2020 topic, I mean, lockdown has been obviously a boon for restaurants and delivery companies. KFC is definitely on my list.
Yeah. We visited them quite a bit in Budapest, too. They had a nice place in Mamut in the mall that was close by to where we lived, and where you needed something that was a little taste of home. That was good for us, too. Hey, you know, so speaking about 2020 and doing things in a remote way, there was a New York Times article about augmented reality and shoes, and to me, this was an interesting twist on some of the clothing apps and some other things that we've seen before that take a look at your body and help you imagine, you know, what the clothes might look like on your body. And we've had examples of that now for, gosh, Michael, forever, right? You know, forever. The My Virtual Model and all the, you know, the fake mirrors and all that.
At least 10 years.
Yeah. So this one, I didn't remember us having one around shoes. And I guess for people who are real sneakerhead, you know, people, they want to see the shoe probably on their shelf more than on their feet. Because having the shoe is probably more important than wearing it, I'm guessing. I don't know. I'm not one of those people.
I don't like this one at all. Wow. And let me tell you why. Shoes could look good, right? Even, you know, on your feet or not, right? But shoes, you have to feel them.
Yes.
You actually have to have them on your feet and walk
around. That was my first thought reading all my thoughts reading this as well. There is a comment in this article that we're referencing on the New York Times, where the purchaser, I assume, you know, says, you know, hey, you know, I can see the shoes on my feet. I can see how they, like, you know, interact with the cups of my pants, you know, trousers. Mm-hmm. I was reading that and thinking, you know what? Yes. I mean, if I look at shoes in a picture, sneakers, whatever, I can get excited. I mean, I think they look cool, but frankly, yeah, if they're not going to fit me, if they don't feel good on my feet, then no. I get you, Michael. I think that's basically why I've been mostly accidental advertisement purchasing Allbirds for the last few years, because I know that they feel great on my feet however they look, and they generally look okay. They're not necessarily like the, you know, the drop, the fanciest new shoes on the market. But yeah, I agree. I think AR has a place, and AR, I think the whole clothing thing with AR is challenging, right? I mean, yeah, you want stuff to look cool on you, you want stuff to look good on you, but if it's not going to be comfortable to wear, ultimately, either we need a really good process where, you know, there's a kind of a no complaints return policy,
or big vats that you just stick your feet in, and then you
and then you'll get the feel
that hook into your phone via USB.
Yeah, and they
cable,
actually give you the feel, right? The other thing I was noticing in the one picture that they show in the article from Dior, right? And I don't know if I'm just reading too much into it, but the right foot looks like the sneaker top is sliced into the pant leg.
Oh, yeah. Somebody's right up underneath the bubble. Yeah. It's like somebody who's... Yeah, no, I see what you mean now. I'm scrolling down to the same bit on the page. but, yeah, it's... I think I think clothing is going to continue to have a long way to go in the AR field. I know that we've spoken about this on hundreds of occasions across 10 plus years of this podcast series.
So my last comment on the whole shoe thing is that I thought the augmented reality perspective of you looking down at your feet at the shoes was maybe a new thing of the mix. Whereas normally you'd be looking in a mirror or you'd have a screen in front of you with maybe you wearing said shoes, but that's not how you look at them. You look down and it's like, oh, they're shoes, right? So to me, that was an interesting twist on the
unless usual. You're a gymnast, and then you might be looking up.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I do like the treads. I always like to look at the treads before I buy a pair of shoes. All right, so next, let's go all the way from your feet below you to L.A. And an article in the Los Angeles Times talks a little bit about the virtual reality, the mixed reality aspects of Star Wars. And longtime listeners of the show know that we like Star Wars, we like Lego, we like a variety of things. They do crop up pretty frequently. And this particular... Really? Yeah, can you imagine that? Apple, Star Wars, Lego, augmented reality. So what I liked an awful lot about this article and about what Disney is doing is to take the Star Wars universe and in the auspices of making it so much more real for people to experience, whether you're going and staying at a hotel and experiencing what it might be like to be on a Starliner and interact with people full on in the Star Wars universe. Well, right now in 2020 pandemic land, there's not a lot of people that are going to theme parks or staying in said hotels and so on. But to keep the interest level up, in addition to the flooding of the market with all kinds of Star Wars movies and shows and collateral and many more to come, I thought that this augmented reality and the virtual reality, I'm not forgetting the right word for this, but both pieces of it, the virtual reality allowing you to be there without being there, and the augmented reality allowing you to, you know, to read the glyphs that are on the side of the building and to have a more visceral experience as you're going through it. We're seeing Disney do the sort of things around entertainment that virtual reality and augmented reality has been a promise for quite a while. And that is how more and more people are getting their first toe dipped into the water. As I remember from the article, and it's been a little while since I've read it, part of the VR experience here required you to have the appropriate Facebook level technology, didn't it? You had to have Oculus Quest 2 to experience all of this. So those are the things that kind of took me through all of this to start with. What did you think when you saw this article?
Yeah, I this is to me a total logical extension of where they've been going, right? And I've been waiting for this. I think it's really good to have both the in-person augmented reality and then the remote viewing virtual reality aspects to give you one as an, I'll say it, as an advertisement to get people there with the VR aspect, right? And then an enhancement when you're there with the AR aspect. And pulling those two experiences together to allow for a much richer engagement of a location, regardless of where you're at, I think is ideal. I don't have the Oculus Quest 2. I've been trading notes and suggestions with our friend Epred on potential VR gear to get, still don't have one yet, but we'll probably get something in 2021, I hope. And then maybe I'll be able to make some recommendations or some thoughts on this, but it won't be, I'm pretty sure it will not be the Oculus Quest 2.
Andy, was hoping for, I wasn't hoping for, but it was, the hint was dropped that I might get access to an Oculus Quest 2 for Christmas. I think that
you were too subtle.
Well, I think that you know, being logical myself, I already have a range of game playing platforms, and including the Google Stadia, which I am getting back into now that they have made it, it's now available, you know, you can use it on the iPad and other platforms. I struggle with paying for games on many, 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 many platforms, which is where Microsoft, I think, is doing a great job. You know, they basically, with their Game Pass, have a really good opportunity. I don't know. I think looking at this from a different angle, you know, theme parks, I mean, they've built this whole theme park or they've added this to a theme park. My only opportunity to experience Galaxy's Edge has been through The Sims 4 so far, which is kind of weird, but it's kind of fun as well, and you know, it adds to the Star Wars experience, and I'm a Star Wars fan. Would I be rude to point out that they don't know how to spell Mandalorian in the Los Angeles Times article? Ooh, I don't know. Maybe.
Well, no, I think editing in this day has been something that certainly...
Well, it's not like people have time, you know, that they're stuck in a single location, have time to do the job right.
I mean, I might be focusing on the wrong thing here, you know, to comment on the fact that two letters are out of line in comparison to, you know, 3D virtual reality environments in Star Wars, but I'm just saying.
But it does kind of... have the major impact, right? You know, edit it right, because if you didn't, then you get a very insightful opportunity missed, because you end up focusing on the wrong thing.
Much of a nitpicker as me, yes.
So here's the question for both of you then. Have you watched the finale of season 2?
Oh, yes. Oh my goodness.
No. Okay. Michael, no. Come on. So, I'm sorry.
Come on, Michael. I had a lot to catch up on.
And I've actually caught up on a lot, but I'm not all the way there, which is part of the reason.
Before we record next year, you know, you need to get up to date, man.
That's right. Before we do another show, I think Michael and I
are going to struggle to, like, not spill if you don't get up to date.
Yes. Oh. Especially that one part with the thing.
Oh, and the stuff.
and the stuff.
Oh, thank goodness I took my earphones off.
Yes. Speaking of things and stuff.
Yeah. All right. So we'll move right along.
Jedi Jawa, Michael. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I know. That was amazing. That one time at band camp.
All right, so we had a query or two out there to let people know. It's like, hey, we are recording our last episode of 2020. Is there anything out there that you would suggest we talk about? And our good friend JT Online obliged and responded to Andy's query on said thing and said, have you talked about Conga Comics? Have you?
I thought that was J Ton Line.
No. He's definitely JT Online.
Oh. Well, you know, everyone can have a spelling thing here and there, right?
James, among our many listeners, famously doesn't have any opinions, so I'm very, very glad that he suggested that we look at this comic, because, like both of you, I hadn't seen this comic, so...
No, and I literally had to go back to... episode 1 or series 1 or line 1 and read it straight forward all 82 episode strips of this, and it's hilarious. I'm sorry, I remember my first exposure to Bitcoin and blockchain, and we've talked about this on the show, was a Security Now episode in 2011, I believe, where Steve Gibson went through the technology behind it and explained exactly how it worked, right? The reason it's called a blockchain and how it works and how, you know, the encryption of each link would encrypt based off the hash of the previous, blah, 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 right? And so it keeps that perfect forward encryption going through to understand that nothing has broken. And the number of jokes about keeping the chain together and doing consensus, etc. It was hilarious, and I laughed a good hearty laugh. Ha ha. So, what did you think?
I mean, as I previewed in our pre-show that we didn't record, but we probably should have recorded because it was fun, and also extremely boring, weirdly.
Fun.
Anyway.
extremely boring, yeah, weird, no, and fun.
I'm familiar with the concepts of blockchain. I am not familiar with to the technical level. I don't live in blockchain as I live on other things. It's definitely a fun thing. It's very well drawn. It's very well understood. I think, again, if you go all the way back and like, it's kind of like Red versus Blue in the kind of the whole, like, you know, Halo. Oh, God. Universe.
I haven't heard of that. I haven't heard that in a long time.
You get more into these things if you understand the history of these things. And not ironically, with blockchain, that even becomes, you know, more of a thing, right? So, it's fun. I'm definitely going to keep an eye on this comic.
Yeah, and I can't remember, was it Block Norris?
The Chuck Norris. Sure, Block
of course. Of course it was a Chuck Norris reference.
Very, very fun stuff. And you know, the nice thing about comics is they do help you understand things.
That's true.
Even better. If you didn't understand them the first time, then you can try to figure out where the humor is in that.
Just go to Block Height 25. That's it. That's what I'm saying.
And so, speaking of finding the humor in things, we can thank Elon Musk for his tweet and the subsequent Mashable article that lets you, provided you for your Tesla have the optional pedestrian speaker feature, you can now determine what your horn will actually do when you lay on the horn as long as you're parked. And according to
as long as you're parked.
As long as you're parked.
So you can only use a special horn if you're not moving.
Well, that's what I think I read into all of this.
That makes I guess when you're driving down the highway and someone cuts you off and you want to honk the horn, you want a serious horn. You don't want to have a cucaracha.
Or a goat, or, you know, a saxophone.
Saxophone. I watched probably about a minute and a half of the associated YouTube of the family testing out their audio, and after about the fourth or fifth, that's funny, I was like, okay, yes, it probably was, but you've got three more minutes of this to go, and I'm just tired of it.
The ability to now have your own custom horn sound, it's not uncommon, right? One of my kids, their friends have all kinds of fun sounds. Being in the band, they have all kinds of fun sounds. So you could do that if you have a little chip thing and you can program it and have a speaker that goes out to the front of your car. And I've seen other mods that, you have a little teensy car, but the horn makes it sound like a semi.
Yes. The fog horn or the air horn.
Yeah. But, okay. So now you can do this, provided, of course, you have the, what is it? Optional pedestrian speaker feature.
Optionally.
Yes. All right. So, we're not done with fun yet. No, Michael, never. You found a fun article about, checking to make sure you're really paying attention to the emails that you get.
Yes. So this is a Verge article, and they're complaining about GoDaddy. And I know in the Valley, complaining about GoDaddy is a thing. Everybody complains about GoDaddy for everything. And I actually read this article, and I'm going to defend GoDaddy. So this is a typical corporate thing to test your security practices and to see if your employees are doing the right thing. Is you send a email that has some sense of urgency that's addressed sort of to them, and you see who bites, right? Matter of fact, I've saw one this year internally in myself, and it was, you know, in these times, blah, 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 your business has decided that you should get a gift card. And it was like a $5 or a $10 gift card. And I'm like, first thing I did is I immediately contacted my boss and said, really? Did you get this? This smells bad. Because that's, I mean, this is exactly how you do it. So in this example, GoDaddy sent their email phishing test offering a $650 holiday bonus. And needless to say, this year, a lot of companies are probably not doing a lot of bonuses or gifts or anything for all the reasons that you can imagine of this wonderful dumpster fire of a year. So I could see a lot of people being really pleased and surprised of getting this email and immediately clicking, which is exactly how you test and exactly how you learn when it comes to phishing scams and teaching your employees. So I actually think GoDaddy should be commended for doing this and teaching the employees to look and pay attention.
I actually I have opinions about brands and organizations, but I think you're right, Michael. I think especially people that work in internet tech, but generally people very strongly need to understand the risks. I won't say that I celebrate the ruse, but I think it was a very good way. I mean, it was a somewhat cruel way, given the thing dangling on the end of it, the holiday bonus. But I think you're right. I think it's tricky. Places I've worked, places I currently work, we have email aliases and Slack channels where you can directly report these kind of things, and I think that's completely appropriate. And I think, well, the thing that worries me often is, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but I do notice the difference between people who work on the tech side of the company and people who work on the commercial side of the company, and whether or not they can always, you know, follow the same advice. Again, I mean, everybody should be educated, so I think this is a good thing for sure.
Yeah,
but it is the most the headline, sorry Michael, the headline is, you know, most evil company email. That makes me smile. It is an evil email and an evil challenge, but it's a good one.
Yeah. Sometimes evil does good.
There is a song about that in South Park, the movie, that sometimes it's good to be evil sometimes or something. Was that it? I can't remember.
It's good to be bad.
My first read of it was, oh my goodness gracious. Yeah. Right. You know, really preying on people. But now that I consider your comments, both of you, that's the whole point, is to help raise the level of awareness to a point where you are now naturally more suspicious of anything that's coming your way, and having that heightened sense of awareness and being watchful is something that everyone needs to be doing all the time anyway.
And actually, the fact that The Verge used that headline as a clickbait makes me think less of The Verge. And I like The Verge. So it's like you took an easy shot at somebody that everybody kind of loves to hate, and you set it up as the wrong message.
Yeah, and actually it shouldn't necessarily be a penalizing thing, right? Because people get fooled all the time. So to me, it would be, how is the care taken to help the people who go in that wrong direction and then become better and stronger as a result? And if I flip that even a little bit more on its head, wouldn't it be even better to be in a spot where if you were well aware of these things and you took advantage of the options that are afforded to you, Andy, kind of like what you're saying, right? So you put it into the appropriate channel, right? That should get you out of mandatory required education later, or something that is more shortened and tailored as a refresher, as opposed to the long, full, you know, whole thing that you would have otherwise needed to do as part of your annual corporate education on cybersecurity and risk. So there's a way to flip it on its head to actually be even better than the other way around. Okay. So we were on the subject of evil.
Yes. Like, can we set that up?
Yeah, very smooth. And it's good to be evil sometimes. And the Match Company, at least feel, and this was a made for internet, not made for TV kind of commercial. But Michael, you want to set us up and kind of walk us under this bridge in New York Central Park?
Well, it's funny, and I actually had multiple people ping this to me, so I had to include it on the show. So this is Match.com, and you have Satan about 11 months ago sitting in hell, getting bored, and suddenly his phone goes, ping, and he gets a picture of a match with a murder hornet. and then he goes and he meets his date under the bridge, rainy day, Central Park, and he goes, what's your name again? And she goes, 2020. And basically you see all the horrible things that happened in 2020, but Satan and his date are enjoying them together, including stealing all the toilet paper, watching a movie alone in the movie theater. Like, all these things that you just can't do. And it's like, you know, this is their match was 2020. And, you know, what's your match for next year? Blah, blah, blah. It's an ad. But it is just too funny. And the Satan costume reminded me so much of Tim Curry.
Oh, yes.
He is Satan in... What movie was that? Oh, gosh. I have it, too. And with Tom Cruise.
Anyway. Not remembering.
I can't remember it, but it's great. It's a wonderful little commercial. I hate to advertise for somebody. They are not sponsoring this show. However, if they want to, I can. Yeah, you know, we'll only take about the amount that you paid YouTube to run your ad, and that might fund us for a couple of years.
Legend.
That's it. That's the movie. Yes. So really enjoyed it. Go watch it. It's hilarious.
Oh, love it. Okay, back to something a little bit more serious, but oh so very 2020. There was an article I saw earlier today in 9to5Mac about the use of cell phone wallet technology. Gosh, you could put this under the blockchain heading. You could put this under 2020. You could put this under a bunch of different headings. But the point here is that for those that are beginning their course, their vaccine course of treatment, being able to demonstrate proof that have you had your first and then your second shot and when did you have it will become more and more important. And for those people on the planet lucky enough to own a cell phone that can have an authenticated blast out that says, yes, the possessor of this cell phone is in fact who they say they are. So you have identity management, blockchain, you know, yay. And you've got the ability to demonstrate that have they had their requisite vaccinations. Mm. Okay, blockchain yet again, double yay. You can use this to now board a plane, go to a movie theater, drive from one country to the next, perhaps, you know, because you've shown that a test has been done right and well. And it's non-Apple specific. It's both Google Play and Apple.
Well, so, I have to channel my inner Andy on this one. They had this beautiful picture of the app from Healthvana. And the first vaccination was taken December 23rd, 2020. And their second vaccination was just taken January 13th, 2020. So they went back into the past to take the second vaccination, which actually did the first one. And so I love it. It's hilarious. No, but this is a good use, I think, of Apple Wallet or I'm not sure what the Android equivalent is, but I'm sure it's probably Android Wallet or Google Wallet.
Google Pay for Passes is apparently what it's called.
Google Pay for Passes. What a perfectly progressive
pop filter promoted possibility.
Possibility, yes. So I actually like this. As a matter of fact, I tend to delete any passes that show up in my Apple Wallet after they're done because I'm just that way. But I have kept like four or five for events that I went to that I really, really want to remember. So I kind of like this. And so, you know, if and when I get the opportunity to take the vaccine, I hope they offer that here too.
There was something else I saw just recently too, where you can use your mobile device, and I think this maybe was in China, to demonstrate, can you go into this club or this, you know, indoor space or whatever, and it could interrogate those passes, much like you would use a boarding pass on a plane. I don't think it's using the exact same technology, but there's still that similar thing of, am I who I say I am? Do I have the requisite documentation? And in order to facilitate speed, I mean, just, you know, think about it, right? If it's a larger event with, let's say it's more than 100 people, you don't want to have to inspect every document individually, right?
So the phone goes, show me your papers.
You know, a lot of things are going to change and a lot of things are going to stay the same. And it's, in some ways, it's a little easy to predict, what you can expect. And the notion of this health passport has been around for more than just a little while, right?
Yep.
And if your doctor or your health system has a different set of documentation than Andy's, you know, what is the truth? And can you just manufacture something, you know, off to the side that says, here I am on a sticky note. Michael's healthy. Let him in. My mom said so.
My mom said so.
Does the NHS have something similar to this, Andy? Is this being contemplated, rolled out? Are you aware of anything like that?
So we are rolling out the vaccine, which is obviously great news. In fact, our next door neighbor, who's in her 80s, has received her first dose, which is great. I don't think that... from the paperwork perspective, that stuff is being considered. I think, you know, I've read already that people are not being denied travel, but being advised when they travel to have evidence of their status in terms of the virus. So, yeah, I think that this is really difficult right now. None of us know the answer, right? I mean, we're living day to day.
Yeah, and with all the challenges that are coming now too about travel, the ability to demonstrate, you know, have you had a vaccine? Have you demonstrated antibodies?
Which company's vaccine is it? Do we trust that company? I mean, it gets very, very complicated and extremely commercial. I think all of these things are going to be challenges for us as we move into the next year, which is a really rubbish way to end 2020. So let's talk about something more positive and more exciting.
Yes.
So Michael, set us up for our last article and our last topic for our last show of this lovely year.
Yes, and this decade.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah, you went one further. Oh,
I see what you did there.
Yes. So what's really cool is James Doohan, who played Montgomery Scott on Star Trek, he died, 2005?
Yeah.
So it's been 15 years. And as part of that, he always wanted to have part of himself go to the International Space Station. They petitioned. They were told no. So they tried to launch parts of him, his ashes into space. Parts of him. There's a finger. No, his ashes into space. That rocket blew up. But when they had some of the commercial people, go to the International Space Station, right? Someone actually smuggled a little bit of his ashes and hid it in the floorboards on the International Space Station. Brilliant. And he's been up there like 12 years now, or 8 years, 2012. I think that's really, really cool. And it's kind of a nice thing to see.
A kind of good space captain.
That's what it sounds like. Why are they talking about it now?
Because it's now publicly known. Because he's been hidden up there against the rules. He was told, no, you can't be there. Well, not he, his family. And they did it anyway. And now that I guess it's out of the statute of limitations. So I think that's cool.
I guess that guy's never going to go back to the ISS again, right?
Probably
on some like, see this guy?
Do not launch list. The do not launch list. Well, I think this is cool.
It is cool. And the thing that's striking me right now, too, is that at the most atomic level, we are all stardust. Oh, wow. So in theory, there was part of him that was already there.
You and Carl Sagan.
He was there.
You and Carl Sagan.
And if any of you are watching Star Trek Discovery, it's still they're still releasing new episodes through the holiday period. So I think Scotty would be proud of the Dilithium.
All right. Excellent. Well, I just want to say thank you to all the people who listened this year and all the feedback you've given us the last decade plus. We've can't believe we've made it this far, and we've made it through another year of this. We would really appreciate if you subscribe to us on your favorite podcatcher, whether that's Apple Podcast, Amazon Podcasts, Google's PlayStation Store. We're on there. We're part of the Blueberry Network. You can subscribe there. We're on Breaker. I don't know if they keep our feed current. Had some problems with them. We are on Twitter at games@work_biz. We are on Facebook at games@biz. We are at the web at games@work.biz.
Biz.
So tell your friends, subscribe. We'd love to hear from you.
And if you get on a chance to be on the ISS, take a recording of us up there and hide it
under the floorboards.
Exactly.
Yes.
And if you are planning to do that, take pictures of all of us and put them under the floorboards as well.
Yes. That's right. Not just the Lego on our feed, but us. Well, have a great one, everybody. Have a great 2021. It can be better.
We are so happy that you are listening and enjoying and sharing with us.
Yes.
And we'll see you next year.
Bye. See ya.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network. And we'd like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at games@work_biz or at our website at games@work.biz.